Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. If you're listening on the classic 1120 AM, you can do much, much better than that. 98.7 FM, which is right there on your FM dial, obviously. If you're anywhere near Highway 40 between, say, like the Valley or, you know, Wentzville and O'Fallon, Illinois, should come in much, much better. Or you can do what all the rest of us do, which is go to the Odyssey app. You can go to odyssey.com. You can go to your favorite wherever and download podcasts, which literally get millions and millions of downloads every year. We can't thank you enough for that. So we're going to do some sports, and we're going to finish with one of the weirdest sports stories I've ever heard and now seen in my life. But let's start. let's ramp the normies up, shall we?
All right. Yeah, let's talk some Cardinals first, and then we'll get to the weirdness of Aroldis Chapman. So Cardinals are playing right now, by the way. It's 1-1, top of the ninth inning. And nothing really significant about what's happening here lately, except that it seems like Victor Scott might actually be putting himself in the mix for center field.
I like it.
Now, some of it depends on like how they think Tommy, how long he's going to be out. If they think Tommy Edman's going to be back in a week, they might not, like a week into the season.
We need an electric guy.
But he is that. He's been getting a lot of playing time in center field lately. And part of this, by the way, is that he's been playing well. You know, so far in the spring now, I think now he's hitting, like today, he's like 1-for-3 today. He was on base 4 times yesterday. He steals bags when he's out there. He's hitting .367 in the spring. He's an elite defensive player. And that's the part that's coming into this. Because Dylan Carlson has been so bad, that might be what's opening the door more than the injury to Tommy Edman. And today they've got Carlson playing left field and Scott playing center field, which may or may not mean anything, but it looks like they're giving him more of a run. And a few days ago I would have said, no, I don't think they're going to rush him.
So
but
quickly give me the starting lineup that you expect
for opening day.
For opening day.
Based on injuries that we know of right now. Sounded good, by the way. There was some good news for Sonny Gray today. So he threw that bullpen the other day. Good. He's been fine since. He's going to throw again, I think, tomorrow maybe.
You know what, though? I'd rather see him play the fourth or fifth game.
It might be that. It might be. He might get the home opener instead of the real opener, depending
on. That would
be
great.
It just depends on whether or not he's feeling good and he's advancing. So if his next throw goes as well as this one, then they're going to figure out whether they get him in a game or they do a simulated game. Yeah. The challenge for him now does not seem to be the health of the hamstring by opening day. Just is he built up enough to start a game in the big leagues? So it's good news. It may not mean he's good for opening day, but it's trending in a good direction for Sonny Gray. So let's say Miles Michaelis pitches. Obviously, Contreras is going to catch. Goldschmidt's going to be at first base. One way or the other, it'll be Gorman or Donovan at second, the other one at DH. Of course, you know Mason Wynn's going to be at short. No, not really. I mean, Donovan's the better defender. Probably by a good bit. So I think opening day, maybe I'll go, since Miles is pitching and he's not a strikeout guy, I would probably go Donovan at second and Gorman at DH. But Arenado
and how good are those guys across the league?
Compared to, you mean defensively?
Yeah, just overall. As
those two guys in particular? Oh, no, I mean, like, Gorman's one of the best power-hitting infielders in the National League. I mean, he'll hit 30 home runs this year. I mean, you know, if he doesn't miss time. He would have last year if he didn't miss time. So he's a real power guy, and Donovan's a little bit different in that he's a lot less power, but he's a big on-base guy. So Donovan will almost certainly be their leadoff hitter to start the year because he's a big on-base guy. So Donovan, Goldschmidt, probably Gorman in the 3 spot so they can split up the righties and the lefties. Arenado in the 4 spot. Then Contreras probably. And then after that, it's kind of like, because Newt Barr's not going to be ready because Newt would be in that mix for the third. So probably after you get to Contreras, it's Walker or Burleson, depending on how they line up the outfield. So on the outfield side, if I were picking today, I might say that they'll play Victor Scott in center field and bat him ninth. And just, you know, he and Wynn would be at the bottom of the order in some combination. And then, of course, Walker's in right. And I would bet on Burleson in left because he's out hitting Carlson. And then Carlson plays against lefties. That would be kind of the way it seems like it's lining up because Carlson has an opportunity. He still does, by the way. There's 2 weeks till opening day.
Yeah.
So if Carlson gets on a roll, that can change all of this. But what's happened in the last few days is it seems like the door is opening a little bit for Victor Scott because he keeps hitting well enough.
Yeah.
He's an elite defender. And one thing that Ollie has talked about all offseason is They really don't want to sacrifice defense for any extended period of time, which is why Tommy Edman moved to center field. But if you have Dylan Carlson in center, he's an okay center fielder, a little bit above average. Jordan Walker was terrible in right field last year. He'll be better this year, but he's not a high-end defender, and Burleson is not a good outfielder. So they don't want to seem to mess with an okay center fielder and two below-average corner outfielders.
Yeah.
Now, if you go the other route and you move Carlson to left, he's a high-end left fielder. He's an elite left fielder. Scott is an elite center fielder, and then that leaves some wiggle room for Walker to improve.
Okay.
So if you're looking for defense, and the other thing that in addition to him playing well lately, the more you think about, you know, the fact that he hasn't played at AAA or anything, he is 23. He's not a 19 or 20 or 21-year-old. You know, Walker was 20 last year when he made the team. So, you know, Mason Wynn is 21.
And maybe he's just that good.
And we don't know, but if you're valuing defense like they say they are, that might be the move unless something really changes with how Carlson starts to hit, because him not hitting has changed a lot of this.
Let's pretend that everyone was healthy.
Yep.
And so you got Newt Barr out there. You got
Newt would be in left.
Edman out there.
Edman in center.
How good is that lineup?
It's a really good lineup, and it's a good defensive lineup, too. I mean, Edman is really good in center. He doesn't have a lot of sample size, but he's really fast. He gets great jumps, and he's got an above-average arm.
Yeah.
Newt Barr is probably slightly above-average defensively in left. So, I mean, you'd have above-average, well above-average, and then to be determined with Walker. I think he's going to be a lot better in the outfield this year. He just didn't have the reps last year. I think he's going to be okay. He has a great arm. So one thing that Walker has is he will throw people out from the outfield.
Interesting. I think it was Ricky Horton last season toward the end talking about every major league player has great eyesight, but Newt Barr and Edman especially are like gifted.
Yeah, Donovan's like that too.
Like they
really
see, it's almost like prescient. Like they just see things that others don't.
Yep, and they also both have really good anticipation too. Like you can kind of get a lean. I mean, before I was a catcher, I was a center fielder, and you can kind of get a lean on where the ball's going to go when you're looking at what pitch is called and then where the location is and where the pitch is executed. The best center fielders are already kind of going in the right direction as the guy's swinging.
Right.
You're not moving, but you're kind of starting to lean your body a little bit. The lineup should be good. Even if it's, you know, if you take Newt and Edman out for opening day, which seems very likely right now, you're still a good lineup. I mean, you're still 1-6 or 1-7 with good hitters.
So our everyday players are superior to our pitching staff.
I would argue that all day, every day. Yeah, especially the rotation. The bullpen's pretty good. It's not great. There are still some unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what's JoJo Romero like for a whole year? We have no idea because he's never done it in the big leagues for a whole year. But he has the talent to do it. And they've got a bunch of other guys that are the back end of the bullpen guys that are really hard throwers that have actually had good springs.
Just curious, how is Jordan Hicks doing? Have you kept
with
up with
San Francisco?
Him at all?
Yeah. So initially he did not do well. His last outing was pretty good. His last outing, I think, was 3 shutout innings with 6 strikeouts.
God, he just has all the talent in the world.
He does. I mean, guy can throw 104 miles an hour.
Okay,
and
let's get weird.
We'll see. All right, so last night is.
I just sat up straight in my chair. I'm like, let's talk about
let's
it.
Let's do it.
Last night I was doing my show prep. You know, I have Twitter up, and I bookmark a lot of things on there. So I go back from there, and I put them on our Google Doc and all that. And then I noticed that Aroldis Chapman, who is a reliever for the Pirates now, was with the Royals last year. He was famously with the Yankees for a long time, with the Reds when he came up. He's an elite. He's old now, but he's always been one of the best relievers. He throws 105 miles an hour in his prime. He's that guy. Well, he's older now, mid-30s, you know, but he's still pitching. And he posted on his Instagram story a video that broke a lot of people on the internet. So I see that he's trending. I'm like, oh, man, did he get hurt? Is there some news? And I click on it, and it's his Instagram story that is getting a lot of attention. On his Instagram story last night, Aroldis Chapman posted a video of him and his mom on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
She's just kind of like lounging back. Mm-hmm. He's like a little boy. He's laying with his mom on his mom's shoulder.
Very sweet so far.
And there's no easy way to put it. He's
feeling her up.
He's squeezing her boobs.
Yep.
Like over and over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just keeps on going. And I think it's his dad that's videoing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking, and it's like nothing weird's going on at all. It's just, this is what they do.
Family time.
And The whole world is going, what is happening in this video? What is wrong with these people?
Do we know it's his mom now?
It is his mom, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you Google pictures of his mom.
Question.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Earlier I was like, it wasn't for sure if it was his mom. It was just
like last night when I saw that, I Googled a pic, looked like a, you know, Rose Chapman mom, and you see the picture of him and his mom like at a ball game or something. Yeah. It's her. And yeah. So that's happening in the Instagram story.
Maybe it's AI, the same way that Trump says that. Did you guys see this story?
No.
Did you pull that for me, the sound, the 1 minute?
So yesterday, during the
Biden-House thing, they played a 1 minute blooper reel, basically, of Donald Trump to show, like, hey, he's no
too.
Genius either.
Yeah.
And Trump came out and said it was AI.
Yeah, I have.
Well, that's going to be the new defense for everything.
But that would seem pretty easy to refute, though, because there were humans there watching all of
this. I mean, there's television coverage and everything.
Sure,
yeah.
Go ahead and play it.
Okay. Viktor Orban. Did anyone ever hear of him? He's the leader of Turkey.
By the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley is in charge of security. 3 years later, how about that?
Did you actually have a one-on-one with Comey?
Not much. Not even that I remember.
I don't like mosquitoes.
We have languages coming into our country. We have nobody that even speaks those languages. They're truly foreign languages. Nobody speaks them. Saudi Arabia and Russia. Will we be too? Oh.
I have a really good memory. Your next wife was a woman by the name of Marla Maples?
That's right.
Do you recall what years you were married to Ms. Maples?
It's called, like, up here, and it's called memory, and it's called other things.
So you don't remember saying you have one of the best memories?
I don't remember that. And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear war theory. You heard that, nuclear.
We have to win in November, or we're not going to have Pennsylvania. They'll change the name.
I talked to Putin. A lot.
Did you ask him that?
I don't remember that. I saw that this morning. I don't remember asking him that question.
I have a good memory and all that stuff, like a great memory. For 20 years, they were fighting ISIS. I defeated ISIS in 4 weeks.
And we did with Obama. We won an election that everyone said couldn't be won.
I'm not cognitively. And you know what? When I am, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be the first people. I know my people. You'll say, all right, Trump, you did a good job. Get the hell out of here. That's it.
I wish I liked him because he really makes me laugh. He really makes me laugh. Yeah, so evidently his answer was that was artificial intelligence.
Oh.
Which is a dangerous thing to say.
Well, I mean, everything he says is dangerous.
But it's also clearly, I mean, I remember about half, I don't remember all of them, but I clearly remember about half of those things, like when they happened. Because they're all pretty recent. They're all from within like the last year or two.
I mean, we obviously know that same blooper reel exists for Biden, too, where it's
And you know what? If we all were out there talking every day, we would have one, too. Well, I guess we do,
I guess,
don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing. Nobody's perfect.
I just did it.
Yeah.
If I spent all day talking, I would probably, well,
you just
I had
needed,
a job
you just
people
needed,
hear me. Oh my
you gosh. Just needed to finish it with,
Those do make me laugh.
The Saudi Arabia.
All right, so we have a cultural update on the last sports segment. So a Cuban journalist?
Yeah, so a guy that covers, this is it's a newspaper report in New Jersey, but the quote is from Alfred Alvarez, who is a baseball reporter from Cuba.
Yeah.
And so he himself is Cuban, too. Yeah. And the video is Aroldis Chapman tweaking his mom's boob, and
the word tweaking.
Don't say tweaking.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing. He's honking.
He just don't made a hand motion.
Don't say honking. Don't say tweaking.
Okay, but
don't
he's what cranking. He did. That's what he did. That's what he did. Anyway, the Cuban baseball reporter.
Kevin's doing the opposite of trying to be as professional as possible.
I'm trying to be accurate.
Don't say juggling.
Tweaking isn't a medical term.
Well, I didn't say I was trying to be medical.
He's painting a picture.
Yeah, it's radio. It's radio. That's what you do. Paint a picture.
Suddenly Wheeler's 12.
Don't say slapping.
Yeah, I didn't say that. But so the
don't say getting up in there.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Anyway,
so we're the wrong ones.
Apparently,
right?
Apparently, this is. According to Alfrey Alvarez, Cuban baseball reporter telling NewJersey.com, this is normal in Cuba, he said. He said, it's a big deal. This is a quote. I'm just reading this. It's a big deal in the U.S. what Chapman did, but for Cubans, it's normal to grab your mother's breast and slap her butt. It's not, he said, it's not a sexual thing. It's really not a big deal for us, but we understand it's not a good look for people that don't know our culture.
We didn't even bring up the second part.
Well, it didn't happen in the video, but yeah.
What was the second part?
The slap
on her butt.
Wow. So, I mean, it's still not great, but at least you understand that if it's a thing, it's a thing, as opposed to him just being a weirdo.
I guess Oedipus never made his way down there.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, that's supposedly normal in Cuba.
All right.
All right. You learn something new every day.
Be careful when you go to Cuba.
Yeah. Don't take your mom.
Yeah, because then you'll be the weird ones
for not doing it. People will be like, what's wrong with him? He's not slapping her butt.
Look who's not tweaking.
Couldn't help but notice you haven't motorboated your mother today. You said it first.
I didn't say it like that.
You're deflecting, Rachel.
I didn't say it like that.
The House of Cards has to just tip back and forth.
And Andrew walks up and just
knocks it down.
She's deflecting and you're all letting her.
I just hurt myself laughing.
I said it very coyly. I wasn't even on mic. I was over here like, motorboat.
And then I very subtly went, and that was because I was cold.
Chilly in here.
Whew, I think I pulled something.
Mom said.
Hurt laughing. Oh, I'm going to go on the injured list with a laugh injury.
Did you pull something?
I'm sure I did.
The crazy part about the video is
I can't wait to hear the crazy part.
What's really weird about this?
He's doing all that, and his mom's just like, yeah.
I believe it's
a cultural thing now because she wasn't bothered at all. She was just like, all right.
She was just sitting there like, okay, son, stop annoying me. Well, and then the dad, the dad is like recording it. I think it's his dad. It's another man's voice.
Somebody.
Yeah, so maybe a brother, maybe his dad, but like it's not being viewed in a weird way. It's like we're just hanging out.
Good for them.
I mean, whatever.
More power to you.
I'm not gonna lie. It does help to know that it's kind of a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
In a different culture, as opposed to just him.
Yeah. Than I felt 10 minutes ago.
Whatever floats your motorboat.
Not as good as he felt. All right, let's take a break. Be right back. DGS. We apologize. 234 DGS on KMOX. So there is a case going to the Supreme Court out of this very small town, Grants Pass, I believe it's called, memory serves from last night. And basically, there are homeless people living in tents everywhere, like every square inch of public space and parks, and it's just everywhere. It's a town of 40,000 people. I think maybe it's Oregon. And they have tried to ban that and say, no, you can't be in the parks, you can't be here, you can't be there. And I think it's the state who has said, there's a law anyway, saying that you cannot do that, that people have a constitutional right to be where they want to be in a public space, to pitch a tent, and to live in a public park. So there's a moratorium on those laws. You can't do it. And I was watching the mayor of Grants Pass, and she was saying, like, look, the town is shut down, and people are leaving, and no one's coming in, and it's just absolute, you know, hell on earth. And, of course, people on the other side are saying, look, these are human beings. These aren't animals. And we've had really hard times here in this town, and people who had homes 5 years ago are now living in a tent, and you're being inhumane, and it's going to the Supreme Court to decide this. How does this hit you?
What is the situation in the town when it comes to shelters or unhoused outreach?
They have some, but not nearly enough.
Yeah. I think it becomes really tough when you are spending time in a public park, which is supposedly open to everyone, and someone comes up to you and says, you're the wrong type of person to be here because you don't have a home. That's really difficult to parse out. And I think it's a different situation if you're camping and you have a tent, then maybe you can establish like, okay, you're not allowed to live here. But if you're just sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
I think it's really wrong to just shoo someone away because you.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the issue. I don't think it's that if you're homeless, you can't be here. I think it's you can't live here.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think that's the interesting question, right? Because I pulled this up while you were telling the story because I hadn't heard all of this. And one of the people that's involved, one of the homeless people, made the point that said, we're in this situation not because we want to be. We're in this situation because we don't have a choice. And then went on to say that, you know, that these new laws or ordinances violate their constitutional rights. Do we have a constitutional right to live on public space?
That's the question. Yeah.
I mean, because the public space, like a park, is set aside for people who live to use that space. And if that space can't be used by the people whose taxes are paying for it, that seems to be, I know, I mean, I don't, you don't want to be heartless, but you also have to figure out, like, do your rights get to trample on someone else's rights?
How are their rights trampling on another person's, though?
Well, I mean, if people can't use the park.
Like, if they're living on the slide or if they're just, I mean, I think it comes down to, like, well, how uncomfortable do you feel? I mean, is it trampling on someone's rights just because you're making them feel uncomfortable?
Well, I mean, if you're literally taking up the space, if you're putting up tents and living there, not just being there, we're not talking about just being there. But if you're setting up space and saying, this is my space, I live here, that means inherently the people that would want to use that public space cannot.
Well, I'm thinking of, for example, the Fireman's Park that was over here.
Yeah, yeah.
They're renovating right now.
Blocked off for renovation for months and nothing's happening.
For the longest, like, unhoused people were posting up there all day long.
Yeah.
That didn't mean that I couldn't go use that park. It just meant I felt uncomfortable using the park.
They were posting up, though. That's not where they put the tents.
There were tents.
Were there?
Mm-hmm.
In the Fireman's Park?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know there are now in the building next to City Hall and all that. There's a huge
area
there.
Yeah, it's probably have, too.
Yeah,
by the way, let me promote. At 4 p.m., we have the Think Tank, and we have Steve Ellman, the Duke of St. Charles, and we have Kara Spencer. And I know this is something that she's dealt with a lot, so that'll be interesting. We'll bring it back up with them.
Man, it's a tough argument, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard because you don't want to alienate anyone. And I think that, you know, if you're homeless, if you don't have a place to live, like, you still have a right to exist. I do think it gets complicated when I asked earlier, what's the shelter situation? What's the outreach situation? There are cases where even if you have all the resources in the world, there are people who are not going to use those resources for one reason or the other. They can't bring their pet. They don't want to get put in a different shelter than their partner. They want the freedom that comes with living on the street. So then it comes down to what can, you know, like, don't people have the right to just exist? And then, like Kevin said, don't people have the right to go to the park without feeling...
Well, what if it's, I mean, like, if the mayor, I don't know exactly what the mayor's claims are, but if it's driving people away from the town, if it's killing the businesses that are in the town, well, in the end, isn't that just going to create more homeless people or create a worse situation? And if it ends up strangling the city, which is, by the way, doesn't this sound a little bit familiar to what we talk about here?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not just with the homeless, but with crime and businesses leaving the downtown area and people not being comfortable putting their companies here or having their employees come down. It's much more layered than whether or not citizens can just use a park, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's disrupting businesses, if you can look at the businesses in that downtown and say, yeah, we used to be at this level, now we're not because nobody wants to come down here because of this. How do you weigh one versus the other? Because either way, you're talking about a person pursuing their rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, right?
Yeah.
Dave, I'm sorry, do you remember the name of the town? I'm trying to find it online.
I think it's Grants Pass.
It's Grants Pass, Oregon, yeah. And it's a smaller, I mean, it's 40, as you said, 40,000 people. It's not a cheap place to live from what this story is saying. And they do not have a homeless shelter in the area.
I think Rachel's question, you really should have gone to law school. I'm not just patting you on the head because that kind of is the question. Do you have a constitutional right to not be made uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Is just like not in my backyard, not in my town. I'm trying to bring my kids here. You're creeping me out. I don't know who you are. You seem dangerous. You know, that is a valid question, which is kind of the question we have going on right now, whether it's the tent cities or it's politics. You know, do you have a right to not be defended? offended? Do you have a right to not be made uncomfortable by someone's views or physical presence?
So there's another level to this. I just found this. So the city does not have a homeless shelter, you know, that it runs. But there is a group called the Gospel Rescue Mission. It's a religious organization, and it allows people to stay there. But to stay there, you have to work for them. Like, you have to work at the mission, and they have a list of rules that some people, quote, find unappealing. Well, but that gets back to what you're just now talking about. Do you have the right to say, I don't like that alternative because I don't like rules, so I'm just going to do this? I mean, I don't know that the rules are even reasonable. They might be totally unreasonable. I have no idea. But there is an option, and we're talking about that balance between whether you like it versus whether it's necessary. I mean, I do think if you had a shelter in the town that wasn't that set up, it might be a little bit different. But we have shelters here. What does it change? We have shelters all over downtown, literally right down the street. What does it change?
The other question is, because I get what Kevin's saying, but the question is, can you force someone to participate in society? You know,
it's a good question.
I mean, don't we all have the option to not participate or not? I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, where the buck ultimately stops where it comes to, like, hey, you're unhoused. We need to get you something. You can't be in this park. It's criminalized to be homeless in this area. You got to get out of here. You can't force them into the shelter at that point.
Or a home.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't want to live like that. No. I want to live on the land. I want to live in this park. I'm happy doing this.
Yeah, boy, it's such a... Because the balance is ultimately one set of citizens versus another.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, Which is basically the whole law. That's what the law is.
I'll be really curious to see how the Supreme Court handles it.
Mm-hmm. They're taking on some tough cases.
Yeah. I mean, we're just sitting here kicking it around, and every couple seconds I change my mind.
Well, you know, we only have to wait about a year and a half until we have a much better administration in place with RFK and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're going to solve it.
That's what I'm saying.
What? This one get you?
What are we doing?
He was so upset about it in the office when he found out. He was losing his mind.
I saw this last night that Jesse Ventura and Aaron Rodgers were serious candidates for VP for RFK Jr.
Evidently, that's a real thing.
And
serious, I think you could put in quotes.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're even mentioned publicly, like, right, Jesse's crazy, right? Jesse Ventura is a goofy guy. You know him from the wrestling thing. At least he's been a governor, and he served in the military. I mean, at least he's done some real things. Aaron Rodgers is nothing but a football player, and I'm not knocking football players. If he were to get out of football...
He was on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Wow, but I mean, like,
if he were to get out of football and start a career in this, like Steve Largent did, who's been in Congress, was a Hall of Fame wide receiver, went into Congress later on. There's another, I can't remember, senator or representative from Oklahoma.
Gopher.
J.C. Watts.
Love Boat.
J.C. Watts was a football player. He's been in this position. There's nothing wrong with being that. But to go from right now, all I've ever done in my life is played football, to a vice presidential candidate for RFK Jr., you're not a serious person if you're RFK Jr. and you're even considering that.
Ooh,
you're not a serious person.
There's a new report that says that Kennedy is speaking, quote, pretty continuously with Rogers over the past month, and the domain name KennedyRogers.com was also registered via a GoDaddy host.
Better believe
week.
It was.
Dave's like, cha-ching.
Dave's like, he swiped Kennedy Rogers and mammothmeat.com.
And .org.
Yeah.
250 DGS. What do we got going here? You'll find out.
Let's figure it out on the fly.
You'll figure it out. To what degree is it okay to fondle fruit at the grocery store?
Wow. Thought we were going back to the Aroldis Chapman story.
Yeah, no.
I think it's perfectly acceptable. You have to.
I mean, yeah, you have to check it out a little bit. Now, you don't want to... Everything I say is going to sound...
You're on a roll. You're having a real dirty day, girl. What were you going to say?
If you squeeze it too hard, it ruins it for everybody else. Sorry, I don't...
No, that's a good point. Don't
it
damage...
Is. You don't want to ruin the fruit.
Do not damage the fruit.
Just stop.
Yeah.
You're making it too easy for me.
Oh, no.
You squeeze it too hard, it ruins it for everyone. I always eat at least one grape. I'm not going to buy. Grapes are expensive. I don't know if you've noticed this.
Yeah.
They are pricey.
It's got to have a snap to it. If there's no snap, I'm not buying it. So I always eat one of them. But I do it as if I'm embezzling millions of dollars.
Like looking around.
Like pretending to yawn. Yeah, like
shading your face from the camera.
Yes, I should just like eat one and go like yes or no. But I pick one up and I look around like, hey, I think it's on fire.
Those are big ones for me to check, grapes. I don't like the squishy ones.
Yeah.
Got to get them when they're like. Would you say there's a snap to them?
Gotta have a snap.
Have to.
Just like a hot dog.
Yep, have to.
Gotta have a snap.
Yep.
I'm very picky when it comes to apples, except the Honeycrisp apples. Those are all good. I'll even order those like Schnucks delivery. In general, I don't trust other people to pick out my produce, but those always turn out nice.
Those are all, I mean, like apples are one that you can just visually look at.
Yeah,
like, you just don't
want to
see
bent,
you don't want to see bruises and all that stuff. But like some, you have to check it to see, like avocados, you have to see if they are squishy or not.
52-year-old man in Florida thought he had migraines, but it turns out that he had a 12-inch tapeworm in his head. He got it from eating undercooked bacon that went bad. What do you mean undercooked bacon that went bad?
Well, I mean,
doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
All undercooked bacon's going to go bad.
I think, yeah.
Listen, this bacon is 6 weeks old, and I didn't.
So if it was undercooked,
I didn't cook it.
If it was undercooked but didn't go bad, could you still get it?
Right.
Or if it went bad but you cooked it well,
maybe the cooking it well would have killed the little guys.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
I still don't understand how that gets in your brain, but okay. A new fear
they
has
find
been
a
unlocked.
Way, yeah.
Has been unlocked.
Wait a minute. So those suckers, they can like survive your stomach acid and all that?
I guess so.
Speaking of grocery stores, they're having a bagger competition. God, I love bagging
nice.
My groceries.
I do too.
As much as I hate doing self-checkout, I love bagging my groceries.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm always disappointed when a bagger shows up.
I that's one of the reasons why I love the self-checkout.
And I feel like I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
Did you guys like the show Supermarket Sweep? When it was on TV?
I don't think I watched it.
Oh, my God. We talked about this. Okay, so I have a Samsung TV, and when you turn it on, it's on Samsung TV.
Right.
And evidently, there's only one channel per show or one show per channel, and Supermarket Sweep was on for, like, months.
Nice.
Oh. So,
and I couldn't turn it off fast enough, mostly just because it was always on, and it was very dated in the 80s and such. But, yeah, I saw every episode 18 seconds at a time. Did you like it?
I did enjoy it when I was a kid. It might be hard to watch now because of how dated it is.
That's another topic I had. I saw on TikTok that a guy turned 59, and for his birthday, his family paid, I think it was Total Wine or Friar Tuck's or something like that, a liquor store. They gave him 59 seconds to pick out anything he wanted.
That's fun.
The family paid
fun,
for that?
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't that sound fun? I mean, maybe not a liquor store for you, but,
no.
You know.
Maybe a Taco Bell.
Maybe a Taco Bell.
Maybe the Mountain Dew shelf.
Now, what would your dream be, Rach? Not like, you know, Birkin bags or something, but, you know, something that's, say, $20-$30 a piece. Like,
yeah.
Maybe a makeup store.
Yeah, that would be really cool if you could just go into Sephora and have a game plan and get everything.
What would your game plan be?
I think I would start with the fragrances. And then move to skincare and then go to makeup. Because you can get some pretty
same for you,
expensive
Kev?
Skincare.
Yeah, probably.
Start with the fragrances.
You gotta get the
You ever wear a cologne?
You gotta blush. No, not really.
Why? What are you afraid of?
I don't care. I smell like whatever my soap smells like.
But what about for your wife? You don't wanna
for like a date or something.
Spice it up a little bit now and then, a little high karate on.
I mean,
boy, you really don't care, do you?
Well, I mean, like,
Kevin's like, take it or leave it.
Take it. Here it is.
Yeah. I think she has accepted this over time.
I think over time is probably critical.